We got breaking news. President Trump, speaking right now, declares an immediate emergency in Washington, D.C.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Yes, Monday. Welcome back to Seculo. Sorry about that. I think I just took too hard of an entrance.
Yeah, you got excited for a Monday.
I went a little macho man Randy Savage. Oh, yeah. All right. It is Monday. We are back here on Seculo. Jordan Seculo's in studio. Will Haynes is in studio. President Trump just got finished speaking, deploying the National Guard to, quote unquote, reestablish law. What that looks like is the fact that they've been experiencing a homeless crisis in Washington, D.C., as the rest of the country has as well, by the way. I mean, any major city you've probably been in, you have seen it, but D.C. maybe more than ever. Atlanta's having these problems. Nashville's having these problems. Obviously, Southern California, big issues. And Northern California, we know all of the issues that are coming, and he's saying, look, we are going to clean this up, clean up the streets, give these people the help they need. And that, to me, I hope doesn't get lost in the shuffle here, is we're not talking about just moving people out. Because I saw that a bit when I was in Hollywood last time, which you could tell they kind of cleaned up Hollywood Boulevard, but just sort of pushed them, you know, to an area where it's like, well, just get them a mile out of the tourist areas and no one will ever know. It seems like this tactic they're going to do is to hopefully get them into housing, obviously, in those kind of situations, fed, and really start hopefully some kind of real work that can be done for these people.
But it's also not just looking at the homelessness crisis there as well. It's also looking at the crime crisis is there. That is, some stems from that, but also just because it is a major city and what we've seen in the past few years, especially, Jordan, we've seen the leadership of these cities, normally very Democrat-heavy leadership. They are not going after the criminals. They are deciding to, in some cases, become sanctuary cities. And what the president is doing here, as he says, you know, this is our nation's capital. This is the seat of government. We can't have this reckless crime that's going forward, and even points to the statistics of how bad it's gotten in our nation's capital. And so he's doing what he has the power to do under the law, and that is use the federal government, use federal resources to try and clean this up.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the murder rates. So Washington, D.C. is now one of the most dangerous places in the world, and it's one of the smaller capitals. I mean, so when you look at Washington, D.C.'s murder rate in 2024, they're 27.54, so almost 28 murders per 100,000 people. Compare that to a place like Bogota, Colombia. It's 15 per 100,000. Mexico City is 10. Islamabad, Pakistan, 9. Lima, Peru, 7. Paris, 1.6. London, 1.1.
In Washington, D.C., incredibly strict on laws, on gun laws.
And 27 murders per 100,000
people. That's terrible. That's terrible. And look, so hopefully this sets a new precedent moving forward of what these cities can do. Because, look, you even had Bowser come in and say, look, I think this is within his means.
That's right. And we can play that sound in the next segment. But she conceded in the media that, no, the president can do this. He can do this anytime. The delegate to the House of Representatives, Eleanor Holmes Norton, has already pushed back at this.
Of course. Yeah.
And I also see this, Jordan, this is something we'll be able to get into as well. The Democrats are probably going to make this push now. Hey, D.C. needs to become the 51st state so that we can stop tyrants like President Trump from doing, I don't know, cleaning up a city and making it safe for the residents and for our elected members of Congress and the Senate and everyone.
Yeah, look, we only got 50 seconds left. I do want to tell you in this segment, we have phone lines open for you right now. Four lines are open, 1-800-684-3110. Go ahead and get on hold again. It's me, Will, and Jordan in for the rest of the show. But we're going to take you through this and a lot of other news that's happening right now. As we are still in our 35 years of Victory Drive, we encourage you, if you've been a longtime supporter, a longtime listener, viewer of Seculo, if you love what we do in the courts, you love what we do in the media, this is a great time to give. So we are celebrating those 35 years of victory, and we're looking forward to 35 more years, if not more, hopefully more. But we can't do it without you. Just go to ACLJ.org, and all donations made right now through this drive are doubled. You can become an ACLJ champion as well. That's someone that gives on a monthly basis, and your first donation will be doubled. So again, go to ACLJ.org. We'll be right back with your phone calls and more on this topic. Mm-hmm.
In a just world, there'd be no need for the ACLJ. But this is not a just world. For 35 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has fought to change that. Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory, defending constitutional rights, protecting innocent life, and standing for freedom. From our offices in Washington, France, Jerusalem, and Pakistan, we've achieved major legal victories for organizations, churches, businesses, and families and individuals just like you. None of the critical legal victories we've scored over the past 35 years would have been possible without the support of our ACLJ members and champions. But the threats to life and religious liberty are far from over. Right now, every tax-deductible gift you give will be doubled, dollar for dollar, to make sure we're ready to fight for another 35 years. This isn't just our work, it's our calling. To learn more about our 35-year legacy of victory, go to aclj.org.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation. They're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
Welcome back to Seculo. Phone lines are lighting up, but we got a few open still at 1-800-684-3110. It's me, Will, and Jordan in studio today. A lot of you watching online right now, you can call in. Will, we're ready to restate what is happening. So many people are just joining us right now. We were talking about the President Trump has said we got to clean up Washington, D.C., whether that's for crime or the homeless crisis is happening right now. For crime, they're going to be taking a lot of action, of course, for the homeless situation, because they have these sort of encampments, these areas where they've been kind of let free to do a lot of problems with this when it's just these tent city kind of situations that break out, especially in cities like Washington, D.C. So what our hope is that for the homeless crisis, this is something that we're actually going to start working on taking care of. This is something that I'm very passionate about, and I feel like it gets kind of overlooked, is taking care of these people who clearly need our help, whether that is mentally, whether that is physically, whether that's to be fed, and hopefully build a roadmap to recovery for a lot of these individuals. That being said, there's also crime that's incredibly on the rise, and somewhat those can go hand in hand. So what happens now? Now we have to see a complete turnaround from starting in Washington, D.C., which is under the president's control, and move, hopefully, all the way through the country that needs this right now.
That's right, Logan. And as you mentioned, you know, there is kind of two issues to this here, but a lot of the crime is also happening from younger individuals, teenage gangs that are running through the city. You're seeing congressional staffers murdered. You're seeing the former Doge employee beaten up trying to stop a carjacking. And you saw the murder of those two diplomats just because they were Jewish just a few months back. And those are some of the highlighted stories. But what is also happening, and they point this out, is that one, how high that murder rate is. It's higher than many other capitals of cities and countries that you would think of as not as developed as the United States, that have a lot more lawlessness. But then you also look at the homicide rate we talked about, but it also experiences the nation's highest vehicle theft rate, and it is over three times the national average. You're three times more likely than the national average to get a vehicle stolen in D.C. There's also other crime is more than 20% among up over the rest of the nation. So what the president's doing now is he's invoking Section 740 of the D.C. Home Rule Act, which set up the D.C. code. And that allows the president of the United States, when he determines that special conditions for an emergency nature exist, which require the use of the Metropolitan Police Force for federal purposes, he may direct the mayor to provide him and the mayor shall provide such services for the Metropolitan Police Force as the president may deem necessary and appropriate. And this has, Jordan, a maximum of 30 days without a resolution by Congress. It'd have to be from both the House and the Senate. But the president can do this. It is within the authority. And D.C. is a unique place because it is a federal city. It's not a state. It's a district. And a lot of these rules actually only came into being in the 70s. Like, this wasn't the entire history before that. It was mostly controlled by the federal government.
Yeah, and I want to point out to people, if you're in a big city, I mean, even small towns, you've got police and sheriffs. You've got these kind of dual police forces, and you've got highway patrol, things like that. In D.C., I mean, different buildings of the federal government have their own police force. There's a Supreme Court police, so different branches of government have their own police force. There's the Capitol Hill police for the congressional police. There's, of course, the Secret Service, and they have a policing division for the executive branch. So you've got all these different police services and security services. On top of that, you have Metro Police. You have police that, and then different areas of the city. And unfortunately, in Washington, D.C., there's at least two D.C.s. There's the D.C. that you see when you go on your trip. And you have to remember, this is a giant city, and you're seeing about 3% of it when you go on your school trip. So and the rest district of the city has been rough historically. And so these murder rates, I think they speak for themselves. The fact that it's double the amount of places like in places like Bogota, Colombia, have half the murder rate of Washington, D.C. It's unacceptable in the United States of America. It's why I don't think there is much pushback from D.C. leaders, because they've probably used all the resources they can. The federal government has a lot more resources. And we don't want the world coming to Washington, D.C., and everyone is living in tents. I know it's hot outside right now, but we have to think that the temperatures start. Well, first of all, that is its own concern, the heat. And then D.C. gets very cold.
You're months away from that. You have D.C. Of course, people travel in. They go to New York. They go to California. These are areas that have become, sadly, overrun. I mean, when we were in London a few months ago, similar situations that are happening in London. These major metropolitan cities have got to figure out how to get this under control. Austin, Texas, I know, has been a huge hotbed for this right now. And again, it's a shame. It's something that America should be shameful feeling.
City's kind of on the rise, like in Austin. They get to a point, and then that element comes in as well. And then you have to realize, you know what, we're not just this perfect little happy town anymore. We're a real city. Yeah. We've got to deal with these problems. D.C. has a unique ability to deal with it because of the federal angle.
Right. And D.C., like you said, when you travel to D.C., and now the problem is these are now encroaching on those tourist areas. You're now seeing it. Same thing would happen in L.A., which was you could no longer go to Hollywood Boulevard, which was already like going to Times Square, a little sketchy. But it went from sketchy to, is this going to be something that gets very dangerous very quickly for my family? And then you saw them just kind of push them out of the tourist areas. But still, then everywhere else is having these issues. It's where you have a Newsom and you have these people who really need to figure out how to take care of their own. I want to take a call. I'm going to let you speak. Alana in Washington on line one. I just want to hear your story. Alana, go ahead.
Well, I work and I'm not doing drugs. I'm a pretty responsible person, but I ended up homeless. I'm living in my van, and I do go to work every day, but my situation is that I don't make enough money to have 3 times the rent, so I can't get into an apartment. I've tried to get housing. The Section 8 closed, but I applied for a waiting list for, like, low income, but because I have money in the bank, because I haven't been spending it on rent, I can't get an apartment for them either. So I make too much money on one end and not enough on the other. Yeah. And I'm seeing that in a lot of people's situations where they've been divorced, where they've had medical expenses that have pushed them out of their home, and they can't get back in anywhere.
Yeah, Alana, just because we're just going to put you down, you'll be able to hear us, but just because some of the sound issues we were having there. I think, look, not just the homeless crisis happening right now, but the ability to find housing is a whole other issue. That is a very different issue than what we're talking about in Washington, D.C.
Yes, housing in general, it's that story that Alana's talking about where you fall in the cracks between you make too much for this program, and not enough, but you're not enough to qualify to get
wage, but not enough to actually live.
Right, and we talk about this in these cities that are developing very quickly, is that how quickly they go from being an affordable city to live in to a city. We live in one right now in Nashville.
We live in one here where I moved here 20 years ago, and really up until 5 years ago.
It was a great place to come start your career.
So many people would move and flock here because I'd say, look at the housing difference. Look at the pricing. And now it's unbelievable.
Right.
You can't move.
In a decade. Yep. In a decade.
Under a decade.
I mean, listen, I'll say that the first house that we bought here, we wouldn't be able to buy today.
Yeah, same. I mean, well, I may be able to buy that one. I sold that one to Will.
That's fair.
But yeah, but I wouldn't pay what right. I sold.
Right, it would have been shocking.
Yeah.
To the caller's point as well, this is actually something that Republican members of the Senate have been talking about. Actually, Mike Lee actually got a lot of pushback from the right, from conservatives, trying to find ways to open up land to address these housing crisis claims. That was a part of that federal land sale that was pushed back and actually removed from the Big Beautiful Bill. So I know that is a priority, and maybe that wasn't the right way to go about it, but there is a priority for people to see housing made more affordable. But you even saw over the weekend the whole controversy that rose from the Democrat mayoral candidate, Mandami, was asked in a debate about his living situation, and he lives in Astoria in a rent-controlled apartment while he and his wife make over $200,000 a year, and he's only paying $2,300 a month. And people were outraged from his own camp, saying, you're holding up an apartment for someone that should be able to get that affordable housing, that rent-controlled apartment, but they're still living in it, even though they make well above what they should be able to live somewhere else. So even people like the Democrat socialist candidate for mayor in New York aren't addressing the heart of the problem. And that goes right to what our caller was talking about, is that there is even not just a homeless crisis, but a housing crisis for people to be able to live.
Yeah, I think that's a huge problem, and I'm glad you called in. And if you have questions or comments, look, we're not economic advisors here, but we at least can tell you our thoughts and our feelings. Look, even as Christians, I think it's something that we look at what's happening with the homeless crisis. You can't just ignore it. You can't pretend it's not happening. And the idea of just, you know, pushing them out into the cities just further, that's not going to work. So if there's an option where people can get real help, you know, can get food, can get housing, temporarily at least, to try to get people on their feet, I'm all for it. Let's figure out a way to do that. I want to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. 35 years of Victory Drive happening right now. And again, you can be a part of it. None of this happens. The show doesn't happen. The lawsuits don't happen. Nothing happens without you, the individual donor. That is how this organization is run. So I encourage you, during these very special months where our donations are doubled, where another ACLJ member of champions ready to match, ready to unlock a pledge, to do it today and do it right now. That's again at aclj.org or scan that QR code. It's on your screen. We'll be right back with more on Seculo.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
In a just world, there'd be no need for the ACLJ, but this is not a just world. For 35 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has fought to change that. Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory, defending constitutional rights, protecting innocent life, and standing for freedom. From our offices in Washington, France, Jerusalem, and Pakistan, we've achieved major legal victories for organizations, churches, businesses, and families and individuals just like you. None of the critical legal victories we've scored over the past 35 years would have been possible without the support of our ACLJ members and champions. But the threats to life and religious liberty are far from over. Right now, every tax-deductible gift you give will be doubled, dollar for dollar, to make sure we're ready to fight for another 35 years. This isn't just our work, it's our calling. To learn more about our 35-year legacy of victory, go to aclj.org.
Look, phone lines are open for you, 1-800-684-3110. I know that last caller spurred a lot of people to call in and talk about the housing crisis that's happening. That's obviously not mainly what our topic is today. That's okay. If you want to call in and talk about it, look, I understand it's on your mind, it's on your heart. You want to deal with it, maybe have someone to talk to about it, it's totally fine. Phone lines are open at 1-800-684-3110. But I also wanted to tie in a bit how the work of the ACLJ, what we're doing in court, really ties into all of this. As, you know, the chaos in the streets may not be taken care of, but the street preacher who may be out there, you know, we got to make sure that he's taken care of and he's stopped.
Yeah, we had to file a federal civil rights lawsuit against the city of Chicago. That was earlier this year. Three young Christian men preaching in a park. You know, and so this is what the police were focusing on in Chicago, and a city that kind of becomes the city that is like number one on the list of dangerous places or places where crime has gotten out of control.
Yeah. Yes, there, Memphis.
The numbers might go up and down, but we know that Chicago has an issue, and certain areas of Chicago have an issue. And what we wanted to point out is while we're fighting these battles, that's the police are obviously saying we're prioritizing that. We're going to prioritize three peaceful street preachers. And we're gonna focus on them instead of the violent criminals who are actually terrorizing the streets. Maybe some people don't like to hear the message of the street preacher. You know what? It's not a bullet. No one is being killed. No one's losing their life. No one is losing their mom or their dad or their children because of those street preachers. That's again refocusing the resources. But we're having to fight these in court. This is not over.
That's right. And Jordan, once again, you talk about this civil case. We just filed our response to the city's motion to dismiss. So we're waiting for the next steps now that we have filed there. But there is a criminal case for two of the defendants. We got the charges dropped for one of them earlier in the year. But the other two, there is a criminal trial 1 month from today. So while we just filed that response to the motion to dismiss in the civil side, we're actually, our attorneys are working today to prepare for trial in Chicago on criminal charges of basically trying to criminalize their free speech and their right to share the gospel. When, as we point out, you look wherever you turn, the large cities have their priorities wrong. They're not going after the violent criminals. They're going after the peaceful people exercising their First Amendment right.
Just to prove the point, so right after securing that first win and seeing all the charges dismissed for one of the individuals, the other two got arrested just days later. Same location, identical circumstances, exact location. So to say that that's not a pattern by the police force, or at least that department is not putting that as a priority, instead of really focusing in on the bad actors, the violent criminals, the drug dealers, the people that are causing actual crime, instead of those who are speaking the message of the gospel, which is what we're used to seeing in public areas and cities and towns across the country. That's the First Amendment. But instead, it is, and I think, you know, to one extent, it's these police forces don't even want to go into some of these areas anymore. So they're looking for other ways to justify their existence, and they're making arrests of street preachers instead of going into areas that, unfortunately, and I think that just speaks to the problem, they have to risk their own lives just to go into those areas.
And Jordan, just to show you also the work of the ACLJ and to our audience, that even today in another matter, and these are matters where people are expressing their freedom of speech within their constitutional right. Many times they are already, they've tried to follow the ordinances to the letter. They have done their homework so that they aren't running afoul of the law. But this is another one in Carbondale, Illinois, where these were pro-life protesters. We also know about the pro-life protesters that were facing criminal charges in Ohio that we've been defending. But this is one where it was a group of people that were expressing with signs their opposition to an abortion clinic. And like all of these, The police get called, and then the city continues to try to move forward on some sort of charges or things. This one didn't get to that point because of our lawyers' interventions, but now we have a suit against the city, and there's an evidentiary hearing today on a preliminary injunction to try and stop them from enforcing against pro-life speech. So I just wanted to put out there as well, our attorneys today have a preliminary injunction, preliminary evidentiary hearing today in court. So we are fighting, while the president is fighting against the way that these cities are being run and trying to get law and order back as the focus, we are also making sure we defend these clients with no cost to the client because of the support of our ACLJ members and champions. But we have to also do this work so that we can put it into it where their focus is redirected back to what their jobs are.
Yeah, and I think that's part of what our job is going to be at the ACLJ, is making sure it's not the actual officers in uniform. They are carrying out directives from their leadership. And so what we have to make sure is that the leadership knows, by filing these lawsuits, you need to refocus on your actual job. You know, your actual job is to keep people safe. But, you know, from time to time again, since the founding of the ACLJ, Logan, we've seen that local police officers love to go against the peaceful protester. Or in this case, just the sidewalk preacher. And I would just imagine in this day and age, when I drive down the road, if I see someone who's got the sign out and is making their message known, in most places, there's 8 other things the police should be looking at in that area than that person.
Yeah, this is the kind of easy pickings, if you will, because they can just do it. They know they're not going to get that much pushback, at least in the moment. But, of course, that is why we are here, to make sure that does become a bit more uncomfortable to take on these. You can't hit a quota if you are just trying to arrest the street preachers in your area, but not actually take care of the people that are on your streets, or take care of the issues of crime that are happening. No, you're going to go after the ones who are legally doing what you're allowed to do on a public sidewalk, but you know that it's going to, you know, cause a ruckus. It is something that we always have been standing up for here at the ACLJ. It's nothing new, but it's a continual battle. It's a continual battle also to make sure we're educating our law enforcement, to make sure they understand also what they can do and what they can't do, who they can arrest, who they should arrest and cannot arrest. Because sometimes it is not on them. Sometimes it's on their superior, who tells them, hey, we think, you know, if you see a street preacher out there, they're not allowed to do that. If they have a bullhorn, or if they have some kind of amplification system, you know, there are rules, so make sure to shut this down. And the ACLJ team is always ready to take action, and if it's within the rules, obviously, we are going to make sure that they are supported. And again, none of that happens without you. None of that happens without your support. And though we are, you know, pushing right now, and you maybe hear me push a lot about this 35 years of victory, some point later this week, you're going to hear from some of the people who had those victories occur to them, some of them in that 35 years, some of them back at the very beginning, and hear how it impacts their life now and how it even impacts the American people now. So I encourage you, one of the things we like to talk about here also is people who become ACLJ champions. Those are people that are champions. That means they give on essentially a membership basis. They give every month reoccurring. It just automatically charges you. Obviously, you can cancel at any time. And we don't set a standard of what an ACLJ champion is. I think the minimum gift is $5 a month. And that's just because of processing fees and all of that. Beyond that, a champion is a champion. If you give that $5, by the way, it becomes $10. If you give $1,000 this month, it becomes $2,000. Understand that your first gift is not doubled in your charge. It's doubled because someone else, another person who understands the impact the last 35 years has happened on the America, on America, on Europe, on Israel. Look, that's a whole other situation that was unfolding over the weekend. We can get into that as well. Phone lines are open for you, though, at 1-800-684-3110. As we head into the second half hour of the show, if you don't get us on your local station, easiest thing to do is just go to aclj.org or download the ACLJ app. There you'll be able to find all the broadcasts, whether we're live, whether you're listening to this later on. And, of course, you can always find us live noon to 1 p.m. Eastern time on the Salem News Channel, on YouTube, on Rumble, and again at aclj.org. Archive later on, wherever you get your podcasts. And with that, second half hour is coming right up, and I want to hear from you at 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back, less than a minute break.
In a just world, there'd be no need for the ACLJ. But this is not a just world. For 35 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has fought to change that. Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory, defending constitutional rights and standing for freedom. Right now, every tax-deductible gift you give will be doubled, dollar for dollar, to make sure we're ready to fight for another 35 years. To learn more about our 35-year legacy of victory, go to aclj.org.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. Phone lines are open for you. We have the second half hour of the broadcast coming up. And in this segment, we know a lot of you are just tuning in, so we'll make sure we reset what we're talking about here. And of course, this is sort of the breaking news that came out this morning. President Trump said he'd be holding a big press conference this morning. He did. I had all of his cabinet pretty much up there, the major players up there to discuss this issue that's been going on in Washington, D.C., and really an issue that's going around the country in terms of crime and in terms of the homeless crisis.
That's right. And so the president announced today that he is invoking Section 740 of the D.C. Home Rule Act, which allows the federal government to essentially take control of the Metropolitan Police Force, as well as use National Guard to help bolster those efforts. And even the mayor of D.C., Mariel Bowser, said that this is the prerogative of the president.
Interesting how broadly this is written, because, you know, there's a lot. I even go to Drudge Report right now, and it's about, like, you know, martial law. Let's go to the actual provision itself, you know, when you talk about law. So Section 740, it's actually pretty clear. It says, notwithstanding any other provision of the law, whenever the President of the United States determines that special conditions of an emergency nature exist, which require the use of the Metropolitan Police Force for federal purposes, he may direct the mayor to provide him, and the mayor shall provide such services of the Metropolitan Police Force as the president may deem necessary and appropriate. Does it look there that there's not a lot of gray area there? It's whenever the situation and nature exists of an emergency nature that require the use. And the president determines that. Now, it's also after 48 hours, the president, it expires unless you notify the chairman and ranking minority members on the committees on D.C. and the Senate and the House in writing. But it doesn't actually, then once you do that, Congress has to terminate it, or some kind of act of law terminates it. It can go ongoing. So, I mean, this is not some short-term necessary solution. This is a power the president has. This is our capital city. And it could also be used as an example. And I think that's what the president is hoping for. Look what we can do in a city if we focus on the bad actors and actually use the police force in the right way, take the politics out of it. A lot of these cities, you know, people that are committing violent crimes are getting out the same day. They're being booked and released the same day because there is nowhere to keep them.
Well, and to that point as well, even during that press conference, President Trump was saying with discussions, like there were people saying, we need more police in D.C. to be able to do this. And he's like, well, how many police do you have? And they said over 3,000. And he said, you don't need more police. You have an army. Especially when you take that within all the Capitol Hill police, the Supreme Court police, all the other, the park police. Right. When you're talking about just Metro police, he's saying you have over 3,000, you're just not doing it right. And that's kind of the whole point, is that if the priorities are wrong, if the leadership is focusing on the wrong things, you can take that example back to Chicago.
They've scared the police forces, too.
Right.
To doing their jobs.
That's true. Yeah. Most of these major
3,000 is a lot, but 3,000 isn't like an insane number to me for Washington, D.C.
Well, exactly. But his point was that you don't need more.
Yeah.
You just need to be doing the correct work and focusing on the right things to make the city safe. And for too long in these very liberal cities in this country, they are focusing on the wrong things, the wrong priorities. They're focusing on street preachers in Chicago instead of the violent crime.
We're talking about street robberies and things like that. We're talking about murder. Murder rates that double major cities around the world. Cities that have much larger populations to police, and that you would think would be more dangerous. I mean, you'd think Mexico City would be more dangerous of a city than Washington, D.C., just based off size, population, and the fact of what they've dealt with drug cartels.
What you heard about, yeah.
It's half the murder rate.
It's wild. Phone lines again are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. 1-800-684-3110. We're also going to talk about some of those judges, Will. The next segment. People
That's
love
right.
them judges.
They do. They love to hear about a good rogue judge.
Yep, rogue judge is coming up after this. You know that. That's all I have to do to tease it. And guess what's coming up next? Rogue judges. New rogue judges. It's a cool kind of sound. I like the way it rolls off my tongue. New rogue judges. Phone lines again open for you, 1-800-684-3110. Then we're going to take your phone calls coming in after that segment, so stay on hold if you're on hold. But get in line. We got four lines open for you right now, or three lines open right now. Give us a call. Thank you.
In a just world, there'd be no need for the ACLJ. But this is not a just world. For 35 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has fought to change that. Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory, defending constitutional rights, protecting innocent life, and standing for freedom. From our offices in Washington, France, Jerusalem, and Pakistan, we've achieved major legal victories for organizations, churches, businesses, and families and individuals just like you. None of the critical legal victories we've scored over the past 35 years would have been possible without the support of our ACLJ members and champions. But the threats to life and religious liberty are far from over. Right now, every tax-deductible gift you give will be doubled, dollar for dollar, to make sure we're ready to fight for another 35 years. This isn't just our work, it's our calling. To learn more about our 35-year legacy of victory, go to aclj.org.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Sekulow. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
Welcome back to Seculo. Again, I mentioned it before, Rogue Judges time. Well, it's time for more Rogue Judges. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-31. Tim, I'm sure this is going to get you fired up. Will, I don't even know about this Rogue Judge. Okay, so, you didn't even prep me beforehand. It just says on the notes, more judges.
That's right. So here's what everyone remembers is that when Judge Boasberg was put in all of these blocks.
He was the original Rogue Judge.
Yeah, he was. Yeah. He was the original Rogue Judge that started going putting all these orders. When there was the deportation flights, he said, you've got to turn around. And he was very, very upset and went very far with nationwide injunctions. This is what triggered a lot of the other judges to start putting these in place. And then we obviously saw the Supreme Court rule on a lot of these, limiting the use of injunctions because this all started with him.
Yeah, and what's interesting is like that one alone, take that aside from everything else that happened, you saw the outrage that did happen across the country. Whether you liked it or did not like the deportation flights, it was definitely a controversial move.
Sure.
The problem is that little precedent of, hey, we think the American people do not agree with this, and this should not be legal, then was taken to almost every single other issue that President Trump was trying to bring up.
That's right. So the original Rogue Judge, as Jordan called him, was then went down a path of trying to find criminal contempt of members of the Trump administration for violating orders of his. Remember, he ordered a flight turnaround once it was out of U.S. airspace, and they did not. They continued the flight, and it landed in El Salvador.
Around, I feel like you want me to respond with
turn around.
I know, it's like every time, but I'm stopping myself.
So the appeals court put an administrative stay in back after he found probable cause to continue this inquiry to find criminal contempt of members of the administration. And on just this Friday, they reversed his findings of probable cause that there was criminal contempt by the members of the administration. So this is, once again, this is an appeals court that has said he went too far. And Judge Castus wrote in his concurrence that any order to turn around planes midair would be indefensible, comparing it to a district judge who had ordered President Richard Nixon's administration to stop bombing Cambodia during the Vietnam War, and that order was quickly stayed. So, Jordan, even the appeals court here is seeing what this lower court, this district court judge did. Even after all of the issues with the injunctions, this was on a criminal contempt inquiry that he was proceeding with has overturned that probable cause finding that he found.
It's reining in some of these just this out of control district court judges trying to turn planes around in international airspace, trying to tell the executive how to carry out their functions when it comes to immigration law, which is something that really falls between Congress and the executive branch. The executive branch executing the laws of the country. There's a lot of immigration laws that exist that make it, again, it's really up to the executive. And the idea here, and they have to go back to Vietnam-era precedent. So what was interesting to note about that is that there's always been some issue with district court judges trying to get involved in affairs that they have no business being in, like how to conduct wars, whether you agreed with the warfare or not, whether you agreed with the president's decision or not, not the job of the district court judge. In this matter, I think the problem is, in the legal process, how long this takes. It takes a very long time for this judge to finally be told by the Court of Appeals, you know what, you're wrong here. You're not going to hold these attorneys in contempt. You're not going to have planes turned around midair as a district court judge. You don't have that kind of enforcement ability.
That's right. And I think that is important, though, even though it takes time. We did see the vindication from the Supreme Court on the injunctions issue. But even having this is the D.C. Circuit, the Court of Appeals, that's a big deal. That it can still happen there, that even at the appellate level, right, not having to go all the way to the Supreme Court. Now, obviously, there's other options. They can try to get an en banc hearing on this or some other. We'll see if that proceeds. But it's a big sign to me that even the Court of Appeals for the District of Columbia was able to come together and say, you know what, he went too far. The order would not have been appropriate, and therefore the probable cause for criminal contempt, we're not even going to let you go there at this time. I think it's a really good sign that the appeals court level in this country is going to be doing a lot of that work as well to rein in these judges that are acting inappropriately.
Yes, exactly right. And you know what? I think this is, again, it's a big win, and it's something that we have to focus on, but that unfortunately this administration has had to focus on. It's not over yet. With these judges who are out of control, we see it happening all the time, almost every day, because President Trump acts fast. He's not, you know, this is not going to be an administration that takes months and months and months to develop a policy. They've already been in office once before. They know what they want to get done. And so the judges are the last place for the left to go to try and prevent these policies from going into force. And when you actually see the American people's position on this, they're not against the Trump administration securing the border. No one was against that. Now that the border's secure, people like that. Now you're able to then focus on what's going on inside our own communities instead of the 6,000 people that we're crossing on a daily basis under the Biden administration. Now that that's done, you can see what's actually happening in your city.
Well, Jordan, as well as you look at some of the reining in and how some of these judges, though, we know they're going to continue to try to find ways, try to get clever. We look at that issue out of Massachusetts with the defunding of Planned Parenthood, which Planned Parenthood is hoping they can draw that legal battle out as long as possible, because we know under the Big Beautiful Bill, it was only 1 year of defunding at this time. Right. We need that to be reauthorized. But when you look at what they've done, they found the judge that put a temporary hold while they waited to have the preliminary injunction hearing, and then did something very wacky when it comes to, okay, well, there's an injunction just for this sect of Planned Parenthood. You know, 25% effectively can keep being funded. Then later took it under advisement, the rest of it, came back and gave effectively a nationwide injunction affecting all the members of Planned Parenthood under a freedom of association grounds that she found. Because at some point, she said, they're all super independent. You can't punish them, except for in one of her rationale, it was, well, they're all a part of the same mission, so you can't punish them. Tried to find a workaround. All of that, we know the Department of Justice has filed their notice of appeal on both of those injunctions against the defunding of Planned Parenthood. And the ACLJ attorneys, as soon as we get that briefing schedule, will be filing our brief as well.
Yeah, exactly right. And I think that that's why you want to support the work of the ACLJ. We're on top of every one of these issues. You go to aclj.org. And if talking about the 35 years of victory, We're going to continue to fight for these as long as you want to continue to fight. As long as you're there to stand with us, you go to aclj.org, you donate today. The impact is doubled. And it's just, we're in back to school time here in Tennessee where we are based. And you realize then a lot of these issues come right back into force because of what's happening on the school campuses, what's happening with someone brings their Bible to school. These are all issues we still face every single day, every single season, I would almost call it, at the American Center for Law and Justice. So go to aclj.org, support our work today. That's at aclj.org.
That's right. We do have two lines open for you right now at 1-800-684-3110. I want to take a call real quick before we head to the break. Hopefully it inspires you to call in as well. Let's go to Greg, who's an ACLJ champion. If you become a champion, you get bumped to the front of the line. So Greg, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks so much. I'm a champion in California, and I'm on Social Security, but you guys are the best group out there for the Christians, and you're doing a wonderful job. Love you guys. I have just two quick points. My one point is, how can biased judges charge Trump? Shouldn't we have equal justice under the law? And also, there's a 30-year-old that beat up a 70 and 80-year-old at a pro-life center, and he got 1 year.
Yeah,
a slap on the wrist.
That obviously was something we were highly involved in. We'll discuss that coming up in the next segment. We'll make sure to give you an update on that. It is unfortunate that you get these violent criminals. Look, I mean, many of us, maybe one of them we're looking at was involved in a crazy situation was a violent crime situation. And by the end of the day, that person who had hurt many people, including police officers, was free to go. Obviously, with a trial later on, all that, but it's years later. We are seeing this in every major city. Stuff has to get done. Things have to be handled. Okay, so phone lines are open for you. I want to hear from you. Greg, though, you brought up that. Thank you, number one, for being a champion. That's someone that gives on a monthly basis, and he's saying, hey, I'm giving on a monthly basis with on Social Security, when I'm dealing with a situation, I still feel like it is the most important time to support the work of the ACLJ. It really couldn't be a better time to support, because right now we have a situation where things can change. So with that, I encourage you to support the work of the ACLJ. We just had a lot of our phone blanks clear. I don't know what happened. We had like two lines open, and now we got five. So if you've ever wanted to talk on the radio, Will, I like to leave it open. This is the time. Just don't say bad words that get us in trouble. And be kind to our phone screener and try to make it somewhat on topic. Give us a call at 1-800-684-3110. But again, it's time for you to become an ACLJ champion. Join us during this 35 years of victory right now. Go to aclj.org. Very important, if you go to aclj.org, any donation made is doubled. If you become a champion, your first donation will be doubled. Do it today. We'll be right back with your calls and comments if you call in.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you: life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
In a just world, there'd be no need for the ACLJ, but this is not a just world. For 35 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has fought to change that. Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory, defending constitutional rights, protecting innocent life, and standing for freedom. From our offices in Washington, France, Jerusalem, and Pakistan, we've achieved major legal victories for organizations, churches, businesses, and families and individuals just like you. None of the critical legal victories we've scored over the past 35 years would have been possible without the support of our ACLJ members and champions. But the threats to life and religious liberty are far from over. Right now, every tax-deductible gift you give will be doubled, dollar for dollar, to make sure we're ready to fight for another 35 years. This isn't just our work, it's our calling. To learn more about our 35-year legacy of victory, go to aclj.org.
Welcome back to Seculo. Phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. We got two lines open, but we're going to jump first to an ACLJ champion. That's Jerome, who's calling California. Go ahead, Jerome. Thank you for being a champion.
Yeah, I just want to get your thoughts on if Obama would have did the same thing for Chicago, maybe we could have saved hundreds of lives. So call in and help.
Well,
with all the murders going on.
Well, right. I mean, that is one of the big issues with Chicago. The difference there is that the president doesn't have as much authority to go to a Chicago, and that is one of the reasons why doing this action here in D.C., one, because it's necessary when you look at the statistics, but Jordan, also because the president has the unique authority over D.C. that he can do this, and pretty broadly, as we explained earlier, and that, one, hopefully that is a kind of a sign to these other cities. Look, when you do the right thing, when you take control and actually enforce the law and get things under control, that great things can happen for your city.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, listen, you can change a city very quickly when you get when the city gets behind the police, and the violent crime has to come down first. And once the violent crime comes down, then you get to really focus in on different areas of crime. It also opens up parts of the city that weren't necessarily open up before, so that there's more housing. So that there are places people will live, places people will go, start a business where they're not afraid that if I start a business here, it's going to be burned down and no one's going to be here to protect it from being burned down. And so, yes, D.C. could be an example for the rest of the country. And that's what I hope we see here.
Yes, absolutely. Let's continue on and take some more phone calls because phone lines are jammed. You heard me. I appreciate that. Let's go to James. Been on hold for a little while. Actually called last week as well. But he's on YouTube. James, go ahead.
Yeah, when you guys are talking about our cities, they should tear down all the housing projects and put them all in little single-family housing all over the United States.
Well, I mean, James, I think that that's a nice theory, that they'd be able to do that. Some of it is capacity, obviously, being able to build, multi-unit facilities and all that. I don't want to go into it and act like I know all the details of that. But we've seen some of that in some of these towns that have built these sort of pathways to livability.
Well, even in the city here we live in, Nashville, they've had these programs for decades, where they did something very similar, James. They did take, not that all of the traditional, what you think of housing projects with kind of apartment style, they actually built up what are colorful, very aesthetically pleasing single-family homes that have a little bit more rigid guidelines of how you can get in there as far as work requirements and drug testing things of that nature. And they have been relatively successful in our community. So to James's point, a lot of times it does take thinking outside the box to help people that are in need to get in a better situation instead
of forward
with
their lives. All right, continuing on, John's calling now on line one, Indiana. John, you're on the air.
Is that me?
That's you.
Wonderful. Hey, you guys are doing some great work. Got a quick question. So with all these nonsense lawsuits and the Russian hoax and all this stuff has been proven false, is President Trump going to get any of this money reimbursed that's cost him, or the American taxpayers? Are we going to see any of that money back? I know it went somewhere. I don't know who would pay us back, whether it's the DNC, the Obamas, the Clintons, the Bidens, the Harrises, or even the liberal left media. I mean, that money went somewhere. I feel like that needs to be paid back.
Well, John, and I'll get Jordan to weigh in on this as well. But I mean, one of the things is that it was the federal government spending the money, and now it'd be the federal government trying to figure out how to recoup from themselves back to be a little bit of tricky accounting. And you also know once the federal government spends money, it's gone. I don't know that there's necessarily any damages that could be claimed or sought here from either the Trump campaign. Obviously, not the taxpayer at that point as well. But what are your thoughts on at least getting some sort of accountability in that way, Jordan?
Listen, if you saw how much of this was being spent in Washington, D.C., even with the Big Beautiful Bill and these other programs, it's a drop in the bucket. I'm not saying that those drops don't matter, because eventually you could fill the bucket up. But I think what we have to do is move forward and say, this is what we're not going to. I mean, there's nowhere to get that money back from. That money is you know where you'd have to recoup that from? Taxpayers.
Right.
Now, there are ways to recoup. Obviously, the IRS can recoup funds from bad actors, from criminals. You can have seizures and those kind of things from the bad actors that we've been talking about today. But in reality, it's like what we focused on, what we talked about. It's focusing on the street preacher instead of the criminal element. And treating the street preacher like the criminal element, like treating the president as if they are a Russian agent trying to take orders from Moscow. This is all the same, and it does add up to waste. Unfortunately, in this situation, we're talking about human lives as well, actual human lives being lost because of the wrong focus and the resources being misused.
All right, let's keep going. Let's go to Michael in New Jersey. He's got a different point of view, and that's okay. Sorry if you call in with a different point of view. Michael, go ahead.
Hi, I think this is a potential mistake.
Okay.
I agree with cleaning up the criminals, getting the criminals out of there, cleaning up some of the encampments. But the homeless crisis has been at least 10 years minimum. Both parties are aware of it. I voted for Donald Trump twice, and I'm a Democrat. But I don't like some of the things that's happening here. For the grace of God, I'm 73 years old, and I can tell you, for the grace of God, I could be in the street right now, and I worked all my life. But for three life-changing events that took place, I was, for the first time in my life, was at risk of being homeless in 2021. They cut half the budget to HUD. They're talking about two-year limits. Who's going to be subject to it there? I mean, I think this is a mistake. President Trump is virtually saying nothing about the homeless crisis. The last administration did next to nothing. We've got a crisis here, and you don't hear it talked about even on the mass media. For some reason, it's being carefully avoided.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not cutting you off. We're actually just running out of time. Michael, I don't necessarily disagree with you. And the fact that we were talking about this is, if you actually read some of the things that were put out, especially last night leading into this and this morning, there was a lot more about the homeless crisis in the papers, in the documents, than what President Trump spoke about. And maybe you're right. Maybe it's that the media wants to ignore it, and therefore they feel like they can't put it on the forefront because people don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear about the fact that when you drive your kids downtown, you have to explain to them this situation at hand.
That's new for us. I mean, that's new. My oldest daughter asks about it all the time now. She's 9, so she now asks people that don't have houses, people that don't have homes.
Yeah, you have compassionate children. They're going to ask. They're
gonna speak. And I think they see the abundance in the rest of the country, right? They see their social. They see what's online. They see what's in the TV. Yeah. And they kind of wonder, why is this such a – it looks like a small problem when you're driving through your city or town. Yeah. And it actually could be. But the problem is that when you let the federal bureaucracy in charge of it, it becomes so expensive to try and fix it just for 10 people. It's like you could have bought each of those people how many houses just to get them into into maybe even just a shelter.
Right.
Because of the bureaucratic cost.
I appreciate you calling in. Like, I think we're saying the same thing, but maybe just through a different structure. But really, I think we all agree there's a homeless crisis that needs to be taken care of across this country. It needs to be taken care of with compassion. And with results, real results that can get done. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. Thank you all for joining us. You can join us tomorrow. Of course, you can join us live each and every day, 12 to 1 p.m. Eastern, on ACLJ.org, on YouTube, on Rumble, wherever you get your content. We are there later on archived. But I want to encourage you also, if you're new to the show, subscribe to the YouTube channel if you're watching on YouTube. We know a lot of you, about 50% of you that watch each day on YouTube, haven't done that yet. And that's over 500,000 of you that have done it. So let's get up to 1 million. Come on, you can be a part of that. Our journey to 1 million subscribers. That's on YouTube. Again, go to ACLJ.org, support the work. Give if you can. 35 years of victory. Let's keep it going, folks. Talk to you tomorrow.
In a just world, there'd be no need for the ACLJ. But this is not a just world. For 35 years, the American Center for Law and Justice has fought to change that. Since 1990, the ACLJ has established a legacy of victory, defending constitutional rights and standing for freedom. Right now, every tax-deductible gift you give will be doubled, dollar for dollar, to make sure we're ready to fight for another 35 years. To learn more about our 35-year legacy of victory,
go to aclj.org.